the swift advance of terrorists in Iraq, not fighters or Sunni rebels or revolutionaries, as some media outlets have called them, led by the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, or the ISIL, has sparked international alarm, so much so that Baghdad has formally requested U.S.'s help. But is U.S. military engagement the right move? In this edition of the debate, we'll ask the real motives of the U.S. in Iraq, in which the U.S. President Barack Obama has said, in addition to this 275 military officers that it will send to protect the Green Zone, that it's going to send up to 300 military advisors. Isn't that the same as boots on the ground? Well, we're also going to ask Saudi Arabia's role in this matter, whether the U.S. is cooperating with them, and also discuss what Syria's U.N. representative has said, that this is a scheme by the West to safeguard Israel's interests through creating havoc in the Middle East, pitting Muslims against Muslims, with the Western stated goal of regime change in Iran.
It seems the United States is preparing the ground to once again intervene militarily in Iraq, as the Arab country's armed forces are engaged in fierce fighting against Takfiri militants from the so-called Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, or the ISIL. This, as the Iraqi foreign minister has called on Washington to help Baghdad over the crisis.
Iraq has officially asked for the help of the United States, according to the Strategic Framework Agreement between Iraq and the U.S., to help in the air raids against the strategic targets for such groups.
The White House claims it's not willing to send U.S. military forces to Iraq, but insists on having the right to take whatever action necessary in dealing with the situation.
Again, the president has not ruled out anything except for sending U.S. combat troops into Iraq. And he has always maintained a position that the United States retains the right to act in defense of our national security interests when the commander-in-chief views that as necessary.
The U.S., which already has more than 6,000 security forces in the country, has announced plans to increase the number of its forces in Baghdad. It has also sent aircraft carrier USS George H.W. Bush to Persian Gulf from the North Arabian Sea. Many experts believe that these developments show the U.S. wants to send its military forces into Iraq to relaunch its military operations there, under the guise of fighting terrorism. This is while Iran has expressed its stiff opposition to such a scenario. The Iranian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman, Mazia Afgham, earlier in the week said Baghdad enjoys the necessary military capabilities and the popular power to defeat terrorism and extremism. Iraq has been grappling with deadly violence by al-Qaeda-linked ISIL militants for more than a week now. The ISIL, which does not enjoy popular support in the Iraqi society, is said to be backed by U.S. allies in the region, including Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey. America's possible military intervention in Iraq comes as previous invasions of the country, and also Afghanistan, which altogether claimed the lives of a large number of civilians, have effectively led to the upsurge of terrorism in both countries and beyond.
Well, let me introduce our guests for this edition of the debate. We have Dr. Webster Griffin Tarpley joining us. He's an author and historian. And also from London, we have Carol Gould. She's an author and political commentator who joins us. I'd like to welcome you both. Dr. Tarpley, let me start with you. What are we looking at here? I don't know if you heard the U.S. President Barack Obama, who just spoke at the White House. He said that he's going to be sending 300 additional military advisors to train the forces there. This is, of course, after announcing the 275 Marines who are going to protect the Baghdad embassy. Clarify for us the term advisors, because many are saying that's boots on the ground. It sounds awfully like what they said about Libya in terms of advisors, not to mention what they were going to leave in Iraq when they left, again, using the term advisors.
I think Obama is extremely reluctant to become involved, and that what he's doing is the character of a concession to the raving warmongers from the Republican Party who this morning were popping off in the Senate. That includes McCain, Lindsey Graham, Saxby Chambliss of Georgia, and a bunch of others who want large-scale bombing, and they want, in many cases, actual infantry brigades. But let's just step back. This ISIS, or ISIL, is a very artificial creation. According to all the intelligence we have, it is, first of all, financed and commanded by Prince Abdul Rahman Faisal of Saudi Arabia. He is the brother of Prince Saud al-Faisal, the foreign minister, and also of Prince Turki al-Faisal, who had been ambassador to London and to the United States here. So it's a Saudi operation, and it comes out of a training camp which the U.S., the British, and the French, in other words, NATO, had established in Jordan quite a few months ago to train guerrilla fighters, death squads, that would be used principally against Assad in Syria, but now they've been retasked. The leader of this ISIS is a fellow called Baghdadi. He has a four-year diploma, a four-year degree, as an asset of the CIA, which he got by being in a prison camp and getting brainwashed and becoming a double agent as a condition for coming out. And the goal of this entire thing is multiple. It is to try to save the Syrian rebels from ultimate defeat, which is otherwise facing them, to overthrow the government of Maliki in Iraq with the excuse that it's too pro-Iranian, to try to bring in then Iyad Alawi, the classic U.S. puppet inside Iraq. And perhaps if they can start bombing, when you listen to Senator McCain and Lindsey Graham, they say the bombing can begin in Iraq, but it should then extend into Syria, which is extremely dangerous. And then, of course, if you begin in Iraq, maybe you might venture into Iran, which is even more dangerous. So I would recommend, obviously, not doing any of that. The one interesting thing the U.S. government could do would be to issue an ultimatum to Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Kuwait, the Emirates, Oman, and the rest of those Gulf states to stop their financing and logistical support for this ISIS. The Turkish government is also very heavily involved, right? The ISIS operated out of a sanctuary in Turkey. Last summer, they made a big attack on Latakia in Syria, killed a lot of people. It's reported that those cadavers of children were used then in August of last year for the Ghouta so-called chemical weapons scare, which was, of course, orchestrated, but that some of the grisly human remains were actually brought in by ISIS. After that, ISIS was transferred across southern Turkey to Raqqa in Iraq, and now they've been retooled for the current mission. The other thing I have to say is that members of the Iraqi army, the officers, generals, were quite obviously bribed by the CIA, told that they should run away. Remember the Nazi blitzkrieg against France in 1940. Turns out a lot of those French generals were on the payroll of Hitler. And in this case, it looks to me like the Iraqi generals that ran away were on the payroll of the US, the CIA, and NATO. So we're being faced with a very artificial situation. But of course, this can lead to real tragedy on a tremendous level. I think the U.S. government really ought to cooperate with Assad. If you want to stop ISIS, you should cooperate with Assad because he can destroy the bases of ISIS.
Carol Gould, Dr. Tarpley talked and mentioned many fronts there. Your reaction?
Well, to a certain extent, I agree with some of the things that have been said, with some of his points. The facts that he presents, for the most part, are correct. But I could not see the United States now partnering with Assad. I just can't see it happening. The other thing is, it's very important that 74% of Americans polled this week in a national poll, in two national polls actually, one was 70%, the other 74%. Most Americans are vehemently against any kind of engagement in either Syria or Iraq. Obama is up against that. The fact that the populace of the United States is against any military involvement. Obama has always been an anti-war president. He is not a war president. He has never wanted to engage militarily anywhere. Then when we talk about the allies, the quote allies of the United States, let's look at the United Kingdom. When Prime Minister Cameron wanted to intervene in Syria last year, Parliament voted against it, so his hands were tied. When Obama heard that, within a few hours, he decided to step back. So the people who are being put on the ground, your other guest suggested that this isn't as it seems. These are not military people. These are going to be security advisors. But I cannot see, no matter how much Lindsey Graham and Saxby Chambliss and the right and Fox News scream and shout, they are not going to be able to literally engage the United States in military operations. They are in a minority. They are in a very small minority. And Obama isn't just going to go in and bomb and do shock and awe the way Bush did without the support of the majority of Congress and the Senate, which he isn't. He's not going to get that support. So I don't see this as developing into a huge war. It would be a terrible thing if it did. But both the United Kingdom and the United States have very fierce opposition in the populace and in their governing bodies, the Parliament and the Congress, to any military engagement in either country, in Syria or Iraq or both.
Well, Dr. Topley, you talk about the U.S. engagements in Iraq in terms of the multiple fronts, such as when you said that the U.S. Is actually responsible for the way that the Iraqi army acted, pretty much fleeing the scene, that they were, well, in whatever shape or form, influenced by the U.S. And that's in sharp contrast to what many have deducted to have been Saudi Arabia's role as playing a hand in that, along with the fact that obviously they have been the ones who are supporting the ISIL, even though Saudi Arabia is saying they're not. Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki has come out, blamed them. And also we have heard other countries blaming Saudi Arabia for supporting this ISIL. Is the U.S. Playing a double face here? I mean, that's what it sounds like based on the assessments that you've made.
Well, what I'm trying to point out is this is an opportunity to educate the American people in the idea that Saudi Arabia is actually an enemy, that Saudi Arabia is responsible for these destabilizations and civil wars. And of course, I know that the U.S. foreign policy establishment does not want to do anything for Assad, but since they're telling